I will follow him for the rest of my life. What about you? Have you made up your mind? Father, we thank you for the time in your presence. We thank you for how far we have come this morning. Lord, even as we have echoed that we are going to follow you, so shall it be for us that all the days of our lives, we will follow you in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare our hearts fertile ground for your word this morning, because those who will follow you are the people who will receive your words with joy and profit from it. Lord, as many as will hear me this morning, Lord, they will profit from your word in Jesus' name. Your hearts become that good ground. I say your heart becomes that good ground for the word of God today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, I will follow him for the rest of my life. And I think that song basically captures, you know, what we want to talk about this morning. We cannot come to church without sharing the word of God. And for the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at a topic tagged the good ground. The good ground. We are going to look at the good ground this morning. We just do a bit more. I'm very conscious of our time. And so we'll be able to touch on one of the characteristics of a good ground today. And we are taking our reading from the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 verse 18 to 23. That's where I'm going to read from. And I will quickly encourage us from there. Matthew 13 verse 18 to 23. I hope you are there with me. Jesus was speaking here. He said, listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the roadside. I'm reading from the Amplified Version, so it may not be exactly the same thing as you are reading there. As for what was sown on thin, rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary, that is inconstant, lasts but a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble. He is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey. And he falls away. You will not fall away in Jesus' name. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. I'm sure many of us have heard the parable of the sower so many times in our lives. But the good thing about the word of God is that it's always new. There's always something to learn from the word of God. And I want to believe that God intends to bless and to change somebody's life by reason of his word today. And that person is me. We started talking about the good ground by telling us that the type of fruit is determined by the type of plants, but the quality and the quantity of the fruit is determined by the quality of the soil. I gave us the example of a supermarket I normally go to there. And I discovered that they've got most of their fruits in two sections. You have some fruits in one section, and they will tell you it's about three, like apples, say $3 per kg in one section. Say Fuji apple, for example, because I like that. But when you go to another section of the same shop, you get another Fuji apple, they say it's prime, for like $6.99 per kg, the same Fuji apple. Anyone who sees an apple knows it's an apple. But the quality of the apple will be determined by the quality of the soil that produces it. And without even knowing where the apple was grown, you can say this must have come from a very good soil. And we said to us that the effectiveness of the word of God in our life depends on our heart. That each time the word of God is sown, if it is sown into a good heart, which is a good ground for the word of God to take root and to blossom, the product will tell the state of our hearts at the time we are receiving the word. And then, of course, we told us some of the things that the word is meant to do in our lives if we are going to be who God wants us to be. If the change that God expects to happen, whatever happen in our lives, we must give the word of God its rightful place. And of course, we said with the word comes, when we allow the word to have its place in our lives, comes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have your preservation. And of course, the one that most people like to put first, the material blessing that comes with it. And I promise us that we'll be talking about the characteristics of a good soil, which is the meat. We are going to be looking at the characteristics of a good soil, and I'll probably be able to talk to us about one. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 15. Luke, chapter 8, verse 15. And I'm going to read, again, from the Amplified Version, because it captures the essence of what I want to talk to us about. Talking about the parable of the sower again, he says, "But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruits with patience." Maybe I better read again. He said, "But as for that seed in the good soil," that is the good ground, "these are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruit with patience." I want you to say to your neighbor, it is the condition of the heart. Speak to your neighbor. Say, it's the condition of the heart. Yeah, it's the condition of the heart that determines whether you are going to bring forth fruit or not. And good fruit for that matter. That's what the Bible is telling us. And one of the conditions that make a good soil is its ability to receive, receptivity. Those of us from my part of the world, from Africa, we were taught in school at least three types of soils. How many of us can remember elementary? We were taught loamy soil, clay soil, and the sandy soil. Praise God. What is the problem with the sandy soil? Eh? It does not retain. As you pour water into it, what happens? It just passes through. And that is why nothing grows, nothing can grow in it, except the condition of that soil, you know, changes. What is the problem with the clay soil? Eh? Exactly. It will not allow the water to penetrate. When rain falls on a clay soil, what do you see? It just stays on top. It can easily flood because the water cannot penetrate. But all of us love the loamy soil. Why? Because when it rains, water falls on it and it goes right inside. And so when you plant a seed, you can be sure that that soil will bring forth. So receptivity is one of the conditions of a good ground. Every heart that is going to prosper from the word of God must be ready to receive the word of God. There's something we used to tell, we tell our patients. I know a few doctors in the house. How good is your medicine when you give it to your patient and your patient forgot to take it? You write out a script. The patient takes it to the chemist. He gets the script filled. But said, "Doctor, I forgot to take the medicine you gave me. Will it work?" The patient must be receptive. So also our hearts must be receptive. So the seed cannot bring forth when there is a mismatch between the type of soil and the type of seed. It's only the hearts where the Holy Spirit reigns and rule that the word of God can take root. The good thing though is this: while you may not be able to alter the seed, you can alter the soil. Am I right? That is why we put fertilizers. We add something extra. We try to alter the soil. But oftentimes what we do is this: we want to alter the seed, and the seed is the word of God. Many of us would rather have the word of God change to suit our life circumstance rather than allowing our life circumstances to change to suit the word of God. If we are going to profit from the word of God, we must be ready to allow the condition of the soil to change in a way that will accept the seed that is sown in it. And my prayer for you this morning or this afternoon is that in your heart, the word of God will be mixed with faith today in Jesus' name. As you receive it, it's going to change you and change your life forever in Jesus' name. You see, the word of God and its power is made manifest when it is released into a situation. Anything that hinders the word of God being released will hinder the power of God being made manifest in your life. I know a lot of people who have been discouraged or have stopped going to church because they say they've been Bible bashed. They complain, they say, "Look, the word that is spoken is against them, therefore they make me feel guilty. That's why I don't go." That is what happened with a heart that is not receptive. Ours is a small church. We are going to do a little bit of exercise this morning. If a pastor is really worth his salt and he knows what he's doing and he's alert and alive to his duties, the pastor should know, listen to this, this is one of the problems in the church. Really, if he knows, if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, the pastor should know who probably has financial problems, who is struggling. Should he know? He will know. But if the pastor preaches on somebody with financial problem, because he knows, the person who has financial problem will say, he's talking about me. So let's cancel financial problems. So the pastor will stop preaching about financial problems. If the pastor knows somebody who's praying to God for the gift of the fruits of the womb, because the pastor knows, if he preaches about that, he's talking about that person. So let's cancel it from the sermon. If the pastor knows somebody who is having marital difficulties, and he preaches about it, because he knows, that's why he's preaching that message, we'll cancel it. Right? So the pastor will not preach about those anymore. If the pastor knows about somebody who is sick, and he comes to the church and he preaches about healing, he's talking about the person, because he knows that person is sick, that's why he's preaching that message. So he has to cancel it from his sermon. The list can go on and on and on and on like that. And so you can see a lot of pastors have the word choked and they cannot preach the word anymore because of fear of offense. A heart that is prone to offense cannot receive the word of God. And therefore the word of God cannot bring forth in such hearts. I remember one day, unfortunately, Brother Bayo is not here. He used to choose the Sunday school topics. And he chose Sunday school topic for that day. And I just came and taught Sunday school. The topic was on marriage and divorce or something like that. I remember. And I walked out of the church. As I was going out, one of the brothers came to me. He said, "Pastor, it's because you know that I have problem with my marriage. That's why you took that lesson." And I told him, I said, "You know who I am?" He said, "No, I don't know who you are." I said, "Okay, I'll tell you who I am." I said, "Like someone said, I work in the post office. I'm a mail carrier. Mine is to deliver the letter. It doesn't matter the content. I've delivered to you. Whatever you want to do with it, do with it." Of course, the brother stopped coming. A good grand accepts the word of God and is ready to make a change so that the word of God will prosper you. The word of God will prosper you in Jesus' name. I want you to open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 5. It says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by in the light of his coming and his kingdom." Listen to this. "Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by. Be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome." I want you to take note of this. The responsibility. Whether the word is welcome or not welcome, your responsibility is to speak the word. You, as preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. And we can go on. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. In other words, lives will not change, lives will not be touched. And the word of God comes alive and with the power of God when it is spoken to somebody's life. If you do not allow the word of God to be spoken to your life, how can it be effective in your life? A receptive heart is the heart that seeks to see the fulfillment of the word of God in their lives. There's something I call substitution of obedience. Substitution of obedience. And I will give you examples. Jonah, where was Jonah sent to? Nineveh. Where did Jonah go to? Tarshish. Okay. Moses was asked to strike the rock the second time. No. He was asked to speak to the rock. But he substituted his obedience. Saul was asked to completely wipe out the Amalekites. What did he do? He preserved. There is no room for substitution of obedience. The receptive heart will not substitute obedience to God. And change what God wants. A receptive heart is the one that acts in line with the word of God. Recently, there was a sister. She lives about 75 or thereabout kilometers away. She went to church like you and I are here today. And the pastor preached on unforgiveness. And as the service was coming to an end, they entered the car. I'm talking about something that happened not long ago. They entered the car. You know what she did? She told her husband, she said, look, we have to go to Perth. He said, we have to go to Perth. The husband said, why? He said, you see, this person that I have something with, I've just heard about unforgiveness. I'm going to Perth. I have to go and make up with the person. And she rang there and then before she got home and made an appointment and went to see that person that Sunday. She said the matter has to be finished. She can look at other ways that she will go around it. I've given us the definition of unforgiveness before. How many of us remember? Somebody said, is the poison you drink hoping someone else will die from it? A lot of people in life cannot fully enjoy their lives because they cannot forgive. If the Bible says forgive, we have to forgive. We cannot substitute what the Bible says for something else and believe is going to be acceptable with God. Timing also is very important to a very receptive heart. Recently, we had some people come to talk to us about parenting. And they gave us 5 characteristics of obedience. 5 characteristics of obedience. 1, it has to be complete. Yes, completely. Immediately. No complaint.
Without excuse.
Yes.
No.
You go extra mile. Are there four? Okay, four of them. And cheerfully. Thank you. So, it has to be immediate. And that's what I want to take. The timing is very important as children of God. Where have we left the importance we place on the word of God? It has to be immediate. Sometimes late obedience is equal to no obedience. Because if it's not done at the right time, we can miss the opportunity. I was telling us this morning, I said time and chance is what makes the difference in life. Time and chance. Many of us are here today. Did you choose to be here? You probably didn't choose. That you are born to your parents, did you choose? No, you just find yourself there. You didn't choose. Somebody just decided one day that, you know, they are tired. Two of them are tired of being together. They just want someone else. They want a companion. They want somebody they can talk to. Somebody that will run around the house, make noise, and turn the chair upside down. And they decided to have you. That's all. You didn't choose. Time and chance. So, if the time is missed, if they had made that time, it may not be you that will be here. So, when God speaks, He wants a difference even right away from today. And God, who can make all the difference, will make a difference in your life from today in Jesus' name. Of course, when the ground is receptive and you put a seed in it, does the seed remain the same? The seed changes. It brings about a change. I've been on the farm before. You see, a heap that was made that was smooth, suddenly it starts to break forth. It starts to break forth. And the next thing you see is a shoot of, you know, plants just coming from it. Something changes in the soil. Something changes, something happens to the seed that was put inside. In other words, if we are going to prosper, the word of God has to cause a change inside of us. The word of God has to bring a change about in our lives. And the change doesn't come just like that. It comes because the good soil provides moisture, it provides the nutrients, it provides the heat that is needed for a change to take place in the seed that was sown. In other words, when you hear the word of God today, if you don't go and water the word, if you don't go and live a lifestyle that is conducive to the word, before you know what is happening, you are going to forget. I know what it is like for me. I don't know about you. If I've not had the word of God for 1 week, I'm just, you know, I'm not myself. So, a good soil must have a way of replenishing itself. That's why the Bible talks about the plant, the righteous being planted, being like a plant that's planted by the rivers of water. You know, that bring forth its fruit in its due season. If we are going to bring forth our fruit in our due season, we have to make sure that we are watered by the word of God. And it has to be a constant thing. That is the good soil. The soil that has rainfall only once in a year. If you put a plant, if you plant something there, if you plant a seed there, it's likely by the time the water that is in the soil, which is enough for it to germinate, dries up, the plant itself will dry out. So there has to be a constant watering of the soil. And of course, a good soil
is the one that will accept the provisions of God. Now, let me quickly show you something. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. Second Chronicles 20:20. That's not it. But what I want to share with you there is this, is that the Bible talks about believing God so that we can be established. It talks about believing the prophet of God so that we can prosper. We are in a world today where there's reason for a lot of being circumspect, a lot of doubting, a lot of doubting of the Word of God. Second Chronicles 20:20, it says, "And they arose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established.'" So in other words, your faith in God is what establishes you. He said, "Believe and remain steadfast to his prophets, and you shall prosper." Like I told us at the beginning, if the word cannot be spoken, how are we going to prosper? What are we going to believe? The good soil is ready to make do with that seed that is planted. I won't be surprised that very soon we may be asked to do customer satisfaction surveys in churches, just to make sure that you like what you heard. If you don't like what you hear, because we know you will not come back, so we have to make sure that we tailor it to what you find palatable. But that will not change our lives, because it leaves you just as you are. Come as you are, but God does not want to leave you as you are. And that transforming power in the Word of God will change your life for good from today, in Jesus' name. In closing, let's look at Proverbs 28:13. Proverbs 28:13. That's where we are going to close. It says, "He who covers his transgression will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes his sin will obtain mercy." Everyone has blown it before. God is not interested where you have been to. God is interested in where you are now and where you hope to go to. You are in the house. You've heard about God before. You've heard his word. We sang a song saying, "I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve him." Will you make up your mind this afternoon to serve him? He is God. He is the Almighty. Will your heart be a good ground for the word of God? Remember, the good ground is receptive. It does something with what it hears or what it receives. If your heart is that good ground, will you allow God to have his way in your life? Can we just rise up as we pray in closing? Can you just speak to the Lord and say, "Father, I have heard your word. I want to profit and prosper from this word that I've heard. I want you to turn around my life from today. Please, all heads bowed, eyes closed. You are in the house. As a heart that is receptive to the word of God, one of the things that happens is salvation. It brings about a change. If you are in the house, you've heard the word of God. The good ground is receptive. It does not just allow the word of God to drain away like that. Nor does it just allow it to accumulate. But it brings about a change in the life of the individual. You are in the house. You have never surrendered to Jesus. You've never given your life to him. Please, all heads bowed and eyes closed. Can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God? It's as simple. It's as simple. It's as simple as declaring him as your Lord and your Savior. And he's ready to forgive you. He can bring about a change in your life. You are in that situation. Can you just lift up your hand to the Lord? So I want to pray with you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Please just lift up your hand to the Almighty God. I want to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Just lift up your hand. Can you just say this after me? I want you first of all to pray to God and say, Father, you know me. You know my life. You know where I've been to. Lord, I come to you and I ask, O Lord, that you touch my life. Forgive me, O Lord, in every way that I've not been living my life according to your word. I pray that you forgive me. You are not talking to man, you are talking to him. Why don't you just speak to him? You can begin to mention those areas of your life that you want to align yourself with the word of God this afternoon. Speak to the Lord. Speak to him right now, just for 1 minute. It's between you and him. No man needs to know. It's purely a personal decision with God. Just speak to him right now. Just speak to him right now. He will change your life. That joy we are talking about, that fear will no longer be part of your life. He can right the wrongs of your life. He can bring your joy to blossom once again. He is the true God. There is no God like him. There is no God like him. He can change things, turn it around. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, take this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word that I've heard today. I come in total surrender to your word. And I give my life to you. And I declare you as my Lord and my Savior. From today, I cease to live the way I used to live, but I have come to live under the authority of your word, and I ask for grace from heaven to help me. Thank you for forgiving me, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Anyone who has prayed that prayer, please, can we just close our eyes, please, head bow. Anyone who prayed that prayer, just lift up your hand to the Almighty God. Everyone who prayed that prayer, praise God. Now, what I want to let you know is that you are a child of God. By that declaration, you become a child of God. From today, in Jesus' name, the Lord God has entered into your life, and your life will never be the same again. In Jesus' name. The rest of us, can we just pray to God and say, Father, make my heart that fertile ground. Make my heart that good ground where your word will take root. Lord, what I've heard today will not witness against me, will not stand against me on the day of judgment, but it will transform my life and take me from glory to glory, such that my life will never be the same again. Thank you, Father. Oh yes, for sending your word to heal me, to deliver me from my destruction today. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And Lord, I just thank you for this glorious moment. I thank you because there is a great rejoicing in heaven over every sinner that repents. Lord, as many as have declared you as their Lord and their Savior today, I pray, O Lord, that your mercy and your goodness will follow them from today in Jesus' name. They will have no reason to go back again in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, O God. Lord, I commit this week into your hand in the life of your people, because they have come under the authority of your word. They will be able to pinpoint and say that this week has been different in their lives because the word of God has been spoken into their lives in Jesus' name. You are the miracle working God. Therefore, Lord, every life that is here today, you are going to touch, oh Lord, in a way that will bring testimony and glory to your name in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.